come and give us the progress in terms of the court order that was issued for department issues that should expire in January. We just want to check the progress and then the committee members will ask questions if they are in. DM and your team.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, the honorable members of the portfolio committee. I shall have that here, colleagues. Firstly, I would like to present the apology on behalf of the minister. It should be noted that the portfolio committee sits almost on the same time with the select committee. So we were both in the select committee, one of us had to run here. So because the select committee still continues, so we had to split ourselves. So minister might join us, might not, but by the pile of the questions I saw, it might take some time answering the question. But we are here to hold back the rear. As per the question, I'll allow the DG Masodi to take us through in the presentation of the subject at hand.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, I'll be giving a progress report relating to the issues relating to the animal, performing animals protection amendment bill. Now, first part of the indication that this bill is part of a package of bills that the department is currently busy with. So, if I have got to say, it should not be read in isolation because it's part and parcel of also the Animal Protection Act. So, when the judgment came to the department was already in the process of reviewing different legislation, and part of the legislation that we're looking at was the Performing Animal Protection Act and the Animal Protection Act. So during the presentation, I'll be making reference to the act because it's quite important because both deal with animal protection. The issue around animal protection has been a huge issue that has occupied media space, either in terms of performing animals or even in terms of animal protection. And there has been a lot of issues that were highlighted that had to deal with both acts. I'll start with the background that we all have, and Honorable Chair has already introduced this, that the constitutionality of sections 2 and 3 of the Performing Animals Protection Bill were contested and even argued by the National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals during the 2012 season. The issues that were raised were around the powers of magistrates to issue licenses to performing animals, with specific reference to animals that are used in circuses, in movies, and the dogs that are used for safeguarding, including for security companies. And the other issues that deals with the respective industries that use animals. On the 11th of July 2013, the Constitutional Court of South Africa in a matter relating to the NSPCA and the Minister of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries and others declared that the sections 2 and 3 of this act, the Performing Animals Protection Act, were unconstitutional. And the unconstitutionality of it was to say we need to separate functions. So that this is an administrative function that needs to be performed by the executive and not by the judicial. Now, this has got issues because this act was previously with the into the Department of Agriculture through an administrative process and therefore was not even penalized in terms of the Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. And honorable members, if reading the old bill, would realize that it still has got bearing to the Ministry of Justice. And hence, the arm in terms of that ministry would have been the magistrate. The judgment also ordered Parliament to remedy the defect within 18 months, which means that the 10th of January would be the date, 2015 would be the date in which that provisions of Section 3, 2 and 3 would have to be remedied by them. And as I said, this affects a lot of operations. And I've already indicated that the department is in the process of reviewing a lot of legislation. And honorable members would realize that if we look at the legislative mandate of the department, some of the legislation predates the 1930s. So we are busy with the process of consolidating this legislation, and we have got a program where we will be going through. In terms of our view, was that if you deal with the Performing Animal Protection Act without looking at the Animal Protection Act, then you are actually having a dichotomous way of looking at animal protection. And our view was that we needed to look at both at the same time and come up with an Animal Welfare Act that would be administered within the department. However, this judgment from the Constitutional Court meant that we have got to look at things differently. Now, in terms of the process of looking at both acts, the Performing Animal Protection Act and the Animal Protection Act, we are already in advanced stages within the department to look at an animal welfare policy, because we wouldn't have an act without having a policy just to guide in terms of what are we trying to remedy and the medium-term and long-term issues that we will be dealing with. Now, DAF had two options in terms of the approach to deal with the Constitutional Court judgment. It's either DAF had to compress its project plan for amending both the Performing Animals Protection Act and the Animals Protection Act, or alternatively, as in option one, only consider those technical amendments that were instructed by the Constitutional Court. And we went for option one, which is an option that would only consider the technical amendment. I should also at least say that we regret as a department that even with the chosen option, that is option one, the consolidation of the envisaged amendments could not be done in time that would have liked. Specifically when you look at how our timelines are set out, the judgment was in July of the year 2013, and we had to look at certain issues in terms of that, and we took some time in terms of amending that piece. But as from November 2013, all the steps that were there took the relevant time. So the time that we could have acted a little bit better was from July up to the end of October. We deliberated on the judgment, and in November we were done as a department in terms of coming up with a consolidated legislation that we submitted to the chief, to the office of the chief state law advisor, on the 7th of January 2014. In February, the office of the chief state law advisor came back to the department with comments regarding the workability of the bill and certain issues around the incompleteness of the processes and infringements of Section 14 to the Constitution, and alerted the DAF on the issues that certain of the provisions within Section 14 were not in line with the promotion of Administrative Justice Act. The department then considered the inputs as coming from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor, and submitted the changes and requested through the minister to gazette the draft bill on the 9th of April 2014. We also held stakeholder consultations with those that are affected, and we from the process of considering the legislation, we also look at the written and oral inputs that were made by different role players within the months of June and July. We then, after considering and responding on the issues that were raised by the stakeholders, submitted the bill back to the Office of the Chief Law, State Law Advisors on the 5th of September in terms of the deliberation. And there were a few minor mistakes that we had made or issues that had to be dealt with. And on the 11th, this bill was certified, preliminary certified, with minor track changes that we have really made provisions for. And this bill is ready for saving at the Economic Factors, Employment and Infrastructure Development Cluster meeting in October. I think we should also look at the bill itself, and this will also be contained in the objects of the bill. But we have summarized this for honorable members to take view in terms of what were the amendments, just in summary. The first one would be the provision for the designation of a national licensing officer. In the past, this was the review of magistrates, and we are trying to bring the national licensing officer. And the national licensing officer would be designated by the minister to perform certain functions. The national licensing officer would also be delegating certain functions to provinces, but I will talk to it later on when I talk about how the structure or even the framework would be dealt with from an actioning point of view. It also provides for a procedure for the application for licenses to exhibit, train, or use of an animal. It also outlines the functions of a national licensing officer and provides for the issuance of licenses and gives insertion of certain definitions which were not prevalent in the old legislation, and also provides for an appeals process. Now, the clauses that we had to deal with, the defense, as declared unconstitutional, was mainly around magistrates as part of the judiciary issuing the licenses. We have looked at, in terms of the objects of the bill, from section 3A to 3L, we looked at how can we grant through an act and issue licenses, and for matters connected with the issuances of these licenses and for granting the licenses. But it further provides for the qualifications of the national licensing officer, the appointment of experts to assist the national licensing officer, and the delegation of functions by the national licensing officer to any person or even arm of government to execute the duties on behalf of the national licensing officer, and the procedure for consideration and granting of applications for licensing, and the duration of licenses. So it sets the framework in terms of what the national licensing officer would be doing, and also sets the process for the withdrawal of the licenses if the validity or even when deemed to be incorrect. Now, clause 4 in terms of this act is to incorporate additional definitions into the act that are consequential to the revised procedure adopted for granting and issuing of licenses. And as previously indicated, you would also have additional declarations for an animal scientist, the national licensing officer, and veterinarian. But the veterinarian in the old act was there, but we have improved in terms of the definition of what you term to be a veterinarian. Clause 5 would provide for an appeal process through an insertion of Section 11A. And Section 11A provides for the establishment of an ad hoc appeal board by the minister, the appointment of members, the appointment of the chairperson of the appeal board, and the functions of the appeal board, which is also in line in terms of the current constitutional arrangements and also the promotion of administrative it will be 2015. This will come after effect once the process has been directed and the president has promulgated the act. One of the issues in terms of legislation is that we should also diverge all those who were consulted. The list outlines those who were consulted, and I will not go through the whole list, but indicates that it was a diverse group that involved people who were in the animal anti-cruelty space, people who were in the academic space of rehabilitating animals, and also included the National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals at a very high level. We then also had a stakeholder consultative workshop on the 16th of May 2014. And a list of all those who attended this meeting is out there. And we have your film industry being there, your circus industry being there, your national, different national bodies which represent performing animals were also there. And we have also the department that are there, and we had the Faculty of Law from the University of Johannesburg also been there to give assistance. The inputs from this workshop were consolidated into a revised document that was subsequently submitted to the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor. Now, pending from where we are currently, there are a few steps that we still need to undertake that has got to do with how we take the legislation forward. Now, the old Act prescribes that you have a license coming from the ministerial, from a magistrate's office or from a magistrate. Now, we have got magistrate offices almost everywhere in South Africa, in municipalities. Now, we need to replicate the very same way of issuance so that people who request the licenses have got areas where they need to apply for these licenses. And to this effect, we will be using our veterinary offices, the departments, provincial departments of agriculture, who have got a very huge presence in terms of the country to issue these licenses. And we will be identifying the service points from a provisional level. We have agreed in terms of the function, but we need to identify this point so that it can be outlined in terms of our awareness plan where these licenses would be issued. This is a function that the DAF will carry through with the provinces as of October. We also intend to delegate these functions to the state reps in provinces, and this will be done by the national licensing officer once the bill has been promulgated. We are now engaged in the process of coming up with standard operating procedures with the provincial departments to ensure that a license that is issued in Limpopo would be issued in the very same standard operating procedure as issued in Gauteng. Because the area around animal welfare is new to the department, quite very new. We are also looking at research and development in consultation with the departments of environmental affairs, tourism, science and technology, our agricultural research council, and other strategic stakeholders, which will include also interest groups that are in this space. We also intend to monitor and evaluate the implementation of the new Act once promulgated, and we will be using our own monitoring and evaluation area, the provincial ones, and also as a party to this, we will also look at the National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Now, one of the areas that are quite important is what are the financial implications of this bill. We have looked it in two ways. The first way was to say this is a constitutional issue. It says that we have got to implement. That means in the short term, we will
social welfare issues. And this will entail a budget to the tune of 54 million, which we as a department would be going through the systems to procure through national treasury, because the current budget that we are having would not be able to sustain that. But in the short term, we are very sure that we will restructure and realign to ensure that we have got a regional licensing officer, the technical staff that will be assisting him, and a skeletal administrative staff to deal with the issues that are currently at hand. And like I indicated earlier on, that we will also use provinces in terms of the issuances of this license. Two questions that the department had that has got to deal mainly with how we are going to be able to respond to the constitutional judgment. The first one was that in consultation with the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor, there were deliberations to say that this bill should be taxed as a Section 75 bill. However, because of certain issues that we are there, we would like Parliament to guide us in terms of the taking of this bill. Because the view from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor is that because it will only involve the delegation of functions to provinces, it is not considered to be substantial to go the whole process of taking, as in Section 75 taking. But we will be guided by this August House in terms of how are we going to attend it. This option also has got an impact in terms of how we are going to go forward. If we are going to do this bill as a Section 75 bill, we are cautiously optimistic that we will be able to meet the dates that are set, taking into cognizance that Parliament would be taking recess on the 30th of November. The second one deals with the issue around whether this bill should be subjected to the necessary ventilation through the National House of Traditional Leaders in terms of Section 18.1A of the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act. And the department and the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor have the opinion that because it does not delve deeper into the issues, while there are issues that have got to deal with traditional and customary way of dealing things, they are not of such substantial nature that they might need a consultation on that line. However, we are all willing to be guided by Parliament on this matter. And we would also like to highlight that not taking does not mean that there would not be consultation from our side. We will also conduct the consultation on that basis to see that this is what we intend to do as a department. Honorable Deputy Minister and Chairperson, I thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson, for the presentation I've just received. Maybe one or two comments to the areas towards the end. The issue of taking will help, stroke not help us going forward. Will help us if it is taken in a way that is primarily the 75 that we go through. As you can see, that there are processes that have been undertaken. But if it is taken otherwise, the mandatory processes, that is, falls under the different checking, will push us to pull the time much longer. Going through our own processes, but I must again say that, Honourable Chair, the one is confirmed that the letter by the Minister has been sent to the Presidency or the Leader of the Governors to say there is a bill that you want to put on the list of the bills that should go through them this year, and this is one of them. though I guess it does not appear on the list, but definitely it has been sent on the 6th of August when the minister signed it. We'll have to check where was the crack where he fell in, but it has been sent. So we want to be cautious that we have this hope of pushing things as they stand, if it is 10, otherwise, or 75, to see it can go through, or then follow the necessary steps if it takes the longer way to say the department will be able and will be forced to approach, because this timeline is not ours. It's imposed by the court decision on us. So it will be important not to defy court to work on those matters accordingly. Thanks.
Thank you, DM. And we want to thank for the clarification that you have given, that you have, the department has submitted the list of the bills that you think they must go through Parliament. It's unfortunately has not been mentioned on the list that was submitted by the leader of government. So, and it's a problem here. What's the thing with that? The letter from leader of government, who's the president of the republic, which says this department does not submit anything. Maybe we should get clarity in terms, because if we are saying that you're going to meet deadline, if it's section, if you take it to 75, and where the proposed deal is now, it's not yet reached the cabinet, it's not yet reached the cluster, so, and now it's September. And you are saying it will go through that process before the set date, and when it comes to Parliament, obviously it will be around if the bill was yet with Parliament, but the bill has not actually reached the clusters. I heard the DPG was saying they are still going to present it to the economic cluster. From the cluster, obviously, it will go to cabinet. And I'm not sure whether you, in terms of the reality of the 10th of January 2015, are we going to meet that target? If the bill was here in Parliament, but looking at the process that is still going to follow, and it doesn't mean when he arrived at the cluster, one having served in those structures before, it doesn't mean that it's just automatically going to pass. It might be returned to department to do certain work, and goes to cabinet. Cabinet might do the same. So, are we not trying our luck? Let me allow other members to comment, because I don't see the reality. Let me allow members to comment.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Deputy Minister. My concerns is in the same line as the Chair. Deputy Minister, we are concerned that we have been informed about this law by the State Law Advisor, although we were aware of last year, I was aware of the court case. There was also issues in the past regarding this, the department not bringing bills before Parliament. So this is not the only outstanding piece of legislation that hampers the impact of your department, although this is the only one currently, as far as we are aware of, that has court implications. We have actually, in fact, asked that we need to get a list to see if there's any other that maybe was in court for certain reasons that has an impact on the portfolio that might be outstanding. And I did mention to the chairperson earlier on, and I will follow it up later, but we, one of my colleagues have written written question to the minister asking if what court orders were there in the department, which ones are outstanding, and what was the implications of those court orders against the department. And this one did not even make it on the list back to the honourable member who asked the question. So obviously somewhere the department missed it on the answer. So we need to follow up on that to see what is going on. And then I see there's a head shake there at the back that says no, but I have the list with me and it's not on there. So I checked previously, but it's something as a side matter, Minister. The tagging itself. One of the questions that I wanted to ask was on tagging. There's a reason why something is tagged as 76 or the 75 bill. And my question would be, if I read through the proposals that in the meantime the provinces will assist, to me it looks like it's supposed to be tagged as a 76 bill. I don't know what Parliament's tagging procedure would be, but just reading through it, it looks like it would have implications on provinces. So I would really also like to get your opinion on that. We can't tag something for a 75 because we think it's going to take a slower process. You know, that's not how we make law. We make law for the right reasons, not because we want to rush something through because we are behind. On that thing of behind, I'm also concerned that looking at option 1 and 2, the department in the first instance opted for option 1. It also sounds to me like the reason for that was because it was a shorter option or a shorter version that could be followed. And my question would be, what implications would this then have, even if it looks to me like we're not going to be able to follow the process and be in time for the court case in any case, or the court, so, are we doing the right legal thing? Will we not have to come back with this piece of legislation again in a year or in 6 months' time to say that now we must, you know, scrap the piece of legislation and start from scratch? That's my question. If we continue on this path with option 1, is it not better if we're not going to make the deadline in any case to scrap it and start with a full process again, the impact? That's my question. Thank you, Chair. Okay, Honourable Carter.
Thank you, Chief. You know, I must say from the presentation, the person actually gets very disappointed. The ruling was in July. I know the excuse that, you know, things actually only started happening towards October, November, but the ruling was in July. 4 months later, the first draft was ready. It took 2 months to get it to the Law State Advisors. Okay, the Office of the Law State Advisor took 5 weeks. Then it took another 2 months after that to get it consented. We're playing games, okay? And I'm really concerned that we are going to create loopholes if we are not going to follow the mandatory processes. And as Honourable Stan was saying, we've got to look at it. There's implications, not only for private stakeholders, okay, and non-profit organisations and that type of thing, but there's also a direct effect that it's going to have on provinces. So, you know, I'm very concerned about the content itself as well and the effects that it's going to have on fast-tracking. Just in short, the 1935 Act, which was years and years ago, okay, was specifically for circuses and for animals performing in circuses. Today we don't only have that, and if we have a look at the words that is used here, as for example, We're talking on page 6. Any person who intends to exhibit any animal. Now, any person or train for exhibition of any animal or use a dog for safeguarding. So any person. Now, that any person, if you have a watchdog at home or a guard dog at home that is looking after your property when you are not there, is any person going to have to go through this process? We talk about intent to exhibit any animal. What is any animal? Are we going to talk about the once a year, for example, Peter Maritzburg World Show, where you can take your Great Dane to get it showed, or your Angora rabbits? Are we talking about those as well? We say using a dog for safeguarding. It is not only dogs that are used for safeguarding. Even pigs are used for safeguarding. Or are we talking here about working animals? If we talk about working animals, then what about service dogs? For example, we can go to the South African Defence Force is using rats. So what are we going to do? Now also say that we need to get licenses for the rats as well. So I really believe that we are going to get ourselves into a serious problem if we go into fast track it. And I am a very keen animal activist myself. I led the march for the Thule elephants in, when was it, 1999. But the bottom line is, if we always have to, I've got concerns as well about how we're going to set up an appeals process. You know, and now I'm getting away from the performing animals, but more to animal activism. We are sitting with a very terrifying situation in the Northern Cape right now, where caracal or lynx are killing like crazy. But animal activists are saying you can't get rid of it. But the livestock has been killed daily. I mean, farmers are crying. There's no land. They don't have poultry anymore. So we've got to get a balance somewhere. How are we going to deal with the matters? We're not talking here, and my concern about time constraints as well is how are we going to factor the licensing in? I'm concerned, for example, we're going to push this now to get it done by January. We've got oceanariums. I've actually went to an oceanarium in East London 2 months ago, and I was actually appalled at the state of what it was in. Okay, but it's under government. It falls under government departments. My concern is how are we going to get those licenses? We can't expect them all to close down because they get a small bit of funding from government, but the rest is from people coming in. You've got all the oceanariums, you've got zoos, you've got all those types of things. Chair, I must say to you, I can continue for the next half an hour, but I know that I've got to just think of the time. But I really believe that even with the appeals processes, to have, for example, animal activists serving on those committees is going to cause great deals of concern. And like I said before, it is not going against what they stand for. But it is, we cannot have oceanarium stores closed, zoo stores closed. How are we going to deal with service dogs, animals, if they can't be used because the licenses are not issued? Then also the 21 days after making a decision on once a decision is made. I think we really need to also look there about having other time frames then, because how long is it going to take? 6 months before the decision is made and then 21 days thereafter. So I'll leave it at that for now. Thank you.
Honourable Ramphosa.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I think mine is a question also. Because of the nature of the decision by court, I think when the matter is challenged at court, we actually have to start to prepare for any kind of consequence that might come out of a judgment. I just want to ask from the department if from the case itself where there preparation for whatever consequence, because now, if there were any preparation, I think the 2 months lost we have not been trusted, because we know that once we lose the case, this is how we catch up. And here we have lost already 2 months. So we declare that also the technical amendment will not actually work if it has been pushed, because already it has already lost time also in itself. So that's a kind of a question I'm asking, that we did not have any fallback position by then. The second one is that now 75, section 75 and 76, I have observed whilst in the process that in many cases, when you try to change 76 to 75, here they start to fail here, not even in court. Either in cabinet or somewhere here, not in court. They come back there. So that's one aspect I would not really want to recommend to favor for this kind of a matter which is so urgent, because the department now is pressed by time to deal with this matter. Now, the chair has mentioned it, to call it somehow a risk, to say, are we now taking chances, a risk of this or that? Now, are we actually not exposing, the department is not exposing itself to a very great failure after having lost a time? Is there any consideration on that shortcut issue? Because also myself, I don't see it really materializing quite well. I've heard also mentioned by the Deputy Minister around a particular approach of considering starting to work on extension already now. I think this is key for me. But now, I want an answer around that risk that we are taking. Is it, how is it informed? Will we be ready for both 75 and 76 so that once this one fails, we already have a regiment standing for that one? The first question, which is the last, I heard in your presentation presented that you will be getting assistance from the provincial land. I think that another possibility of the challenge. You know, when you talk of that, I know the country has always been in a crisis of shortages of land, especially provinces. You know, in the country now, provinces have tend to cycle, rotate the land around the packages. This province will attract this land from another province because of a better package. This is actually influenced by the fact that they are scarce. And now, to want to say in this urgent breaking matter, you pull such people in, that's another problem for me now. I don't think I actually understood it well when you say you don't come to the party and so on. So those will be my three questions.
Let me welcome the Honorable Jaisa and the Minister and the DG and their team. You're welcome. Honorable.
Just one question, Chair. Maybe, and if the presenter can go to slide 14, maybe just an advice we may get. I know it's a court judgment. Is there any way of delaying it beyond the 2015 January? Maybe people who can advise on that one, because I see the processes, given the information that we have from the leader of government business not having anything, and from the ministry, everything was given to evaluation, presenter. Can you go to that monitoring and evaluation there? On slide 14. Do you see monitoring and evaluation? It says January 2014. Even in the hard copy, it says that January 2014. Thank you very much.
We'll allow GM and your team to respond.
No, thanks, Chairperson. The minister is here. Chairperson, if we go back where I started, I think there was an open acknowledgement of the process. Hence, one two prongs kind of approach. The one ending with, and the one of if we do go through. It was the acknowledgement of this gap of time going through these processes. Even saying we do have a letter signed on the 6th did not necessarily mean that we say that will make it go through, even if it goes back to the leader of government and say indeed we acknowledge that is part of it. It still does have a problem of too many valves that it has gone through to them. That's the first point. And the second point, it should have been the court timelines rather than ourselves rushing it and undermining the content of the thing. As the honorable member said, it's no use passing it and then it comes back after 3 months, 6 months, again on the same process. The thoroughness will really help us to go thorough, and then if it passes, then it happens once and for all. Don't have comebacks on it. Including what has been raised by the honorable member of the mechanisms that we say we'll be putting up, like VATs and all that, do we have that backup? There's no use to put mechanisms that have no backup, say that, and we have to run as a skeleton trying to get those VATs when people will say, you said VATs, and I've been in this building many times, and there is no VATs, so this thing is not passing. So it will be important that mechanisms we put their back up in a proper way. Questions that were raised there. I know when it goes to the animal activists, they comb the things. They use a very small comb when it comes to animals and all that. So I think we need to maximize to our best when it comes to that. So, it's not our take to go 75 for 76, but I agree, we need to prepare for 76 more than we're preparing for 75. It looks like there was that kind of preparation that we were more married with 75 rather than 76. So, when we present and we say the facts and the provinces immediately, and the provinces will say, you can't talk about us without us. That immediately makes it 76. I think we must be more on the side of answering the way the last member, the question has raised, that is there a way? Because it's not our take that we have our time. There is time that is put in a serious way, put by the court. Is there a way of persuading the court to say, please, can we get the extension? As far as I understand, I think the minister can approach and make the request, and makes a request of that extension, I think that must loom larger in our minds as we go forward working on this matter, so that we don't rush it, and then immediately we pass it, it comes back. Immediately we pass it, provinces and municipalities and everybody involved, we don't have lands and all that. So I agree. I take on board the point that we were slow starters, having given the time since the time the judge has spoken. We were low starters moving here. Maybe we'll have to try and double speed and without undermining the thoroughness and the correctness of both procedures and the content. That's Chairperson, that's what I would really put on the table, but I'm glad the Minister is here, DG. So it looks like even if it is 75 or 76, it will have to give a better and more space than the space we have at the present moment. Thanks, Chairperson.
I was just wondering, and I don't know the background of the court case, but I also know that in the past people don't just take a department to court. There's a long dealing beforehand. And I would like to know from the department if this is the case. It's not to say it's happening all the time. I see people shaking their heads there. But usually there's you know, a discussion or something that gets it to a point. It costs money to go to court today. So people don't just go to court because they don't like the department. I would like to know from the department if there was any dealings before, and it's all good and well, you can all shake your heads now, but I'm sure if I get hold of the people, they might have a different story. So for me, I'm quite interested in that. So even if, you know, I can't imagine that maybe it was like this, the court, the people just take the department to court one slap. But I would be more concerned if there were any dealings beforehand and the department did not then act in a way that was given as maybe 3 or 4 years and there was no court that tells us, now you must do this thing in 18 months. So I would like to have, for interest's sake, that as a background, because that would concern me even more. Thank you, Chief.
I think we should move towards closing the matter out of the response, but we must agree as members and be realistic that the deadline, department is not going to meet the deadline. That's the first thing. The second thing is that they must actually solicit whatever measures to interact with constitutional courts for them to get the extension. And they should go back and look at this draft bill, because one citizen has a question whether, because the intention of the department was to look at the holistic bill that encompasses all animal, dealing with animal, whether it's performing or act or whatever. But because of this, of the order, they are now opting to amend the sections that are said to be judicial, performed by judicial section, which is a problem because it's a function of the executive. So the department should go back and look at whether it's, because the presentation was saying that they actually, within welfare policy, they started the process way about to be adopted. And for me, if the policies
adopted by cabinet, it can be used as a policy. Even until maybe we'll be guided by the legal advisor people. If the policy been adopted by cabinet can be enforced to society even before there is that legislation. That's my understanding. So that this thing of amending the two clauses, because it's a shortcut. Because the intention of the department was to look at the holistic policy. Now you are zooming towards the shortcut because there is a court order. Which even the shortcut, you are not going to looking at the realistic time frame, you are not going to meet the department. And the DPG was saying there is a policy process that has started, which is in place, which is about to be approved. I'm saying if the policy covers even addressing those issues that are supposed to be received by the law, legal can be enforced in the even waiting for the process of legislation. Legal advice.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Usually what legislation does, it gives a legal framework for the policy. The policy cannot have anything which is not authorized in terms of legislation. What the effect of this will be if they don't get an extension and come 10 January 2015, it will have the effect that there will be a situation that that sector won't be regulated. And the idea would be for them is to ask the Constitutional Court, because the court won't will not see desirable to have a situation where you have a sector which is not regulated. Thank you, Chair.
I know that it's not a legal expectation. We can request the extension of the Constitutional Court. I think there is that we really have to consider very serious that extension. So it will give us a breathing space and working with purpose, but understanding that we are within our own legal parameters. I think we have to consider that. There's a question asked from the member. I an old lawman. I'm sure it's the age with my mother. Which makes one appreciate that it is an overhauling rather than amending those two areas. It is really to rethink with the modern life, to rethink with the modern constitution and all that. But specifically, this one, I will request the minister to answer it with a specific case that has happened of negotiating when people, they know that you are not on the same ground. Something similar has just happened. Maybe the minister will give the example on that.
Thank you, Mr. President. The situation is created a situation where people believe because they know that there is no tandem with the constitution, they can go to court. There was a case of the Bulbul certification. Well, when the Minister of Justice is negotiating with all the incident groupings, one of them just went to court for a certificate because he knew that the act has not been amended accordingly. So yes, it's possible that when we are negotiating in good faith trying to find an answer, people can still use the court. It just happened so that about a week ago, I mean about the last month, where one of the participating groupings, without notifying us that we are going to leave this forum and go and apply to court. And because they knew that as per the old court, I mean old order, there would still be pray that we should make sure that when we do that, we do it in a way that it does not deal with specific areas. It covers everything, and we will be constitutional so that we prevent this thing, because it is animals that will be at the receiving end if we take a shortcut or nothing there.
Chairperson, I appreciate that answer, and this is one of the concerns that we had discussions with the portfolio before you joined us. And I saw this, and I made a mention of it on the first, it was on slide 3, the third bracket where it says the judgment happened during the time when the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries was through its legislative review process. My concern is that this part of it is now almost 2 years old, the discussion of legislative review, and it can't be the only piece of legislation, and I mentioned some other pieces of legislation to do with animal diseases and animal health and all kinds of other things that actually not constitutional or that's so outdated that needs reviewed. So from my side, we are really concerned that there's a massive legislative backlog in this department. Also that we make law, but we can't always, there was a nice thing that says monitoring and evaluation. We can't produce it. Because we don't have the capacity. And I think, Chairperson, if I may ask, that we get a list from the department on the legislative review, which things are urgent, like this one with the court case. Others might not have court case implications, but it could have been the fact that it's not constitutional, and it is other reasons that compel us to immediately look at those. We are concerned that we're not getting these pieces of legislation, and the department has fell behind again on your own time frame of bringing documents to the portfolio and all the tick boxes that you need to tick. And then just lastly, Chairperson, who in the department is supposed to drive this? Is there a specific mandate or a specific person that's put in charge of pieces of legislation? Will it fall within the DDGs or where does it fall? Because maybe there's a gap that there's not a specific person in the department that looks after this. I even went so far as to ask the Chairperson that we must get the department, every time that they come in front of us, they must tell us which pieces of legislation works on their specific, because we never get that. It, as part of your presentation to this portfolio, we talk about programs and this action and that, but we don't ever talk about pieces of legislation and what is happening the department. So from our side, we would appreciate something like that. Thank you, Chief.
I wanted to close the Honourable Cut. Let me give you a chance.
Yeah, I'll be very quick. I think it is just very important, I don't want to repeat anything that has been said earlier on, but the department just needs to apply to the Constitutional Court. But at the same time, do it within a time frame and come back to us and say, listen, application has been made, okay? And let it happen within the next 2 weeks, maximum, later. But also continue with the process as if we do not have an extension. So that at least we are moving forward and we're not just going hindering and sitting back again because we know there is an extension.
I think that is a good suggestion. It does not need a response to DM. We are agreeing that the department would go and ask for extension through the court, and we will be informed, because by the way, the judgment say parliament, and parliament includes us, not yourself only. It's just as an executive function. So you should work, your team must work with our legal person so that we'll be informed of what process, and so that we are able even to monitor in future the progress on this legislation. The second issue, Minister, is that as we want to thank you for coming and we want to release you, there are outstanding documents that we have requested from
previous committee until to date, which we have not received. It will be helpful that when the committee has requested the document, it gets it in time. If it's not there, we must just be told it's not there. It will be very helpful. We will actually send the letter from myself, Minister, which outlines all those issues, so that we can get response, because there are a lot of outstanding issues. So if I start to mention them now, I might not finish, but it's our time. So, and thank you very much for coming. And we want to give you this request. We are still requesting. The response should come in time, Minister. We have penalty measures that we can apply as this committee. If we are not receiving what we have requested in time. But we still believe it will be unfair, us being new and you being new, want to move toward that direction. It will not be unfair. Majority of us in the committee were very new in the committee. But see that indeed there are a lot of outstanding issues that were supposed to be finished which are not here. And we'll do that through writing of the letter so that you are able to respond in time. So that we avoid issues of confrontation, because we are here to support the department to do its work and deliver services to our people. And thank you very much, Minister, and your team. You are released.
Thank you.
didn't note the apologies from Mr. Temwa. Says the committee is lacking. The other one. Mr. Feltani was going to join us late. He's here, we're happy he's here. And welcome, Mr. Feltani. Honorable Feltani. So those are the apologies that we have. And Ms. Youngblood was going to join us late, and she's here. Welcome, Honorable Youngblood. Can we look at our minutes? H1. For the adoption of the minutes, those that were in the minutes, in the meeting, those that were in the meeting. Honorable Nkosi Mandela.
Thank you, Chair. I take the minutes as a true reflection of the meeting of the 9th of September 2014, and I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Any seconder? Honorable Tongwan.
Thank you, Chair. I second.
Very much. let's go to the proposals on the program for the visits of Mwaka. Well, we have another set of minutes. This one we have adopted it. Oh, we have adopted the report. I'm saying the same. It was the report. Okay. Let's look at the 11th minute. It's only one page. Any correction from page one? People who are in the meeting? Honorable Shay? Prepare such a document change. Seconders? Kosi Mandela?
Thank you. Second, the proposal to adopt the minutes of the 11th of September 2014.
Thank you very much. Can we then go into the proposal program for visit of Mwaka?
affected of the tremor. So this is a draft proposed program that will follow by the committee on the 23rd. I just want to confirm with the members. With regard to logistics, who is currently dealing with the logistics arrangement, we according to the program, we will have to meet with the, it was decided in the meeting that we will meet with the provincial committee first, including national and provincial departments, and then we will go to NAHA and also meet them with the stakeholders. We also invited the two chiefs from Chief Pato and Jongilanga to be part of the meeting. I'm also going to invite, I'm in the process also going to invite in the Buffalo City. It was also decided that Buffalo City Municipality should also form part of the meeting. I'm going to invite, I'm in the process of inviting them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, members. That's the program.
can't get a flight on that day, you will sleep over and take the first flight in the morning.
The evening.
The evening, we have to do is to make bookings for you to sleep over.
Over the evening on the
evening? No, the over that is on the 22nd, that is Tuesday.
And then
the
the workshop.
Yes, so it means we are leaving from Easter on the morning of the Thursday night.
No. What is going to happen, Honorable Joseph? On Tuesday, the whole Tuesday, we'll be working in Eastern Cape. And on the 24th, which is a holiday, members are expected, those that actually want to go to their constituencies, they will go to their constituencies. Those that are coming to Johannesburg for the workshop, they will be traveling to Johannesburg. So, but what we said is that in case there is no flight, members, those that want to go to their constituency would be released at the time of the flight. That's how we have agreed on. Thank you very much.
Now it was opened by the Minister of Rural Development. And he highlighted the problematic areas on which the land summit was going to focus on. And the rest of the first day was followed by statements from the different stakeholder groups that were represented in the summit. All the groups that were indicated their interest group statements were allowed. It was very good because it was not a summit for actually only academics and educators. Even the traditional people on the ground, the farm workers, have been able to put their case from the national podium where Minister Selenkosi was there. Now, there were four commissions, as I indicated from the beginning, communal land tenure policy, communal property associations, that is the CPAs, land tenure security for commercial farming areas policy, agricultural and other land holding policy. Now, they were held at parallel sessions because of the peak size of the activities. So each session was divided into two. So instead of four venues, it was eight venues with different presenters, but it was a mixture of presenters, professionals, legal people, and politicians also. So what so happened also to the candidates. We were actually divided. We divided ourselves in different commissions from our colleagues here. And then all the discussions took the whole day for Friday in the commissions. And Saturday, it was only reports from commissions. So commissions were also led by people, mixture of people who chose rapporteurs from themselves, and of course different presenters with knowledge, resource people, and it was a very open summit. Everybody was allowed to speak, as I indicated. Discussions took the whole day on Friday without cutting, except the last time and so on, the breaks. So that was it. But the reports were deliberated on Saturday. And the observation that we actually have made in the summit and the outcomes was that different discussions were still existing, lack of intergovernmental relations, as we all have indicated that there seemed to be no synergy in the, how the departments are working, but also issues raised from the different commissions were actually highlighted, and we observed that also the time issue was a problem because the deliberations on the reports were actually shortened due to the time constraints. And there were also very straightforward issues, like the issues of indications by all people that the land issue needs a very fast attention, very quick attention, because now everybody has noticed that time will come when people will actually become tired of the meetings and so on. But one other main issue was to say some of the decisions have not been taken during previous surveys that have taken place, but the problem was the issue of implementation and so on. So people wanted to get an assurance that all their inputs and as they would be consolidated by the department would actually be fast-tracked because people want action now. And it was clear that the reports and recommendations, they will be edited and finalized and they will be sent through to different stakeholders for engagement, but they will also be cascaded down to provinces and also to the locals. Now there was a time frame put that this will be taken down until the 31st March 2015 for people to take pertinent issues and make comments on four policies that were discussed in the summit. And that is how the summit ended. a very successful summit because even the minister has actually indicated nationally that at least seven issues that have been hinging have been agreed upon by almost everybody in the summit. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable from Honorable Sultan, you want to add?
Thanks for the opportunity, Chair. Indeed, what Honorable Ramakwan said is so true. I must indicate, of course, that on Commission Day, we went in different directions. And in my commission, which was 1A, dealing particularly with the issue of community land, I don't want to say sparks flew, but they came very close to flow, because the big central issue that had to be considered in that commission was a sensitive issue of whether land should be that is community held land, communal land, let me use that term, communal land should be handed over to traditional councils or to municipal councils. And they were diametrically opposing views on that. There was also a view which was expressed by one of the discussants, you know, certain white lady, a view that it is not certain if the government of South Africa actually owns that land, and we deliberate on that. What was most interesting was the fact that this lady came up with a strong suggestion to say that traditional leaders were not the most competent institutions to hold on to land, because there have been instances in areas like Mpumalanga where they were known to have actually sold what was communal land. And she had gone to the extent of getting some legal opinion, you know, on the matter. But the matter was not quite resolved. We had an opportunity for input, and we made suggestions. I don't want to personally say this is what I suggested. This report is not about that. But the interesting thing is the sentiment that Honorable Ramkhosa has expressed, that people are very anxious to have this matter resolved. And indeed, government has an obligation to try to fast-track matters. I didn't attend the following day when commissioners were going to report. I had a funeral to attend down in Cape Town. But I'm thankful that I had the opportunity through this committee to go to the summit. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Sultan. That is the report, Honorable Members. I don't have to advise. Already, Honorable Ramukh has put the spices and the salt on top of the report, so I can't tell you to. It might be very hot for members. Thank you very much. That is the report. Members, we have been invited by the standing committee on finance on the issue of monetary things, or they are saying they had public hearings. One of the issues that came out of that public hearing was on the zero rating of agricultural inputs. So they are conducting a workshop. They are inviting all of us on the 19th of September. Is it this coming Friday? So I urge our members to attend because it's affecting our sector. Unfortunately, I must put apologies. We have the National Executive Committee meeting, so I won't be around. So members who can attend, let's attend because it's affecting our sector. And
Friday is still a working day. It's not a day to go home, honorable members. Yes. Okay, thanks. Honorable Ramaphosa.
Chair, I will also have the provincial executive committee in profound day as well.
Okay. All right, thanks, Honorable Ramaphosa. But members, those that are here, at least now I know it's my week will attend. It's not going to Eastern Cape on Friday. We'll go on Monday. So, so we'll be going home on Monday with us so that you can wave to the wife that I'm here, I'm still around. The last thing is on the workshop members. It has been approved. We are going to have the joint workshop with rural development and water and sanitation. So I just want to ask the content advisor just to tell us how far are they in terms of the preparation. Because we said that we should get the specialist on the sector, because initially the arrangement was supposed to have it here in Cape Town. But seeing that all the committees, they are supposed to go on oversight, Johannesburg was the, was the center area. So we then requested them to work for the preparations in getting those experts off. Are we still on course? That's just information. Yes, sir.
Thanks, Chair. Morning, members, or afternoon. Yes, Chair, we are still on course. We have made contact with some of the experts, unfortunately, due to the changes. Some of the experts couldn't make it next week, but with some the arrangement is that even if they can come for their slots on a particular day, instead of being there for both days, it will be fine. And we also try to get some in from the Joburg area, but there's still one person who is to come back to me on the agricultural side today, because he was out of the office in the past few days. And also in cases where people have cancelled with us if they can suggest other alternatives, particularly from Gauteng, to minimize costs. By the end of tomorrow, there will be a draft program with the names of the presenters.
Thanks for the opportunity. I just want to let the House know that I will be going with the land reform. Land reform portfolio committee. This is just to avoid if you want booking. they already contacted me yesterday. And I just want to indicate that the bookings for people who are coming back to Cape Town on the 27th, because they told me that they don't want to assume that they will finish with the deliberations in time on Friday for people to catch flights going home. And the arrangement is that people can put up in Johannesburg on the Friday. And people who will be flying back to Cape Town, flights should be booked in time, because on the 27th, the Springboks are playing Wallabies in Cape Town, and those flights are going to fill up if they haven't already done so. I just thought I would caution.
Okay, Honorable Young Blue.
Must we make our own travel arrangements? Or how do I understand the Honorable for telling
that? No, it's just referring for those that would be organizing travel arrangement for us as members.
Oh,
they must be
okay.
Inside,
okay.
Because
yes.
There will be a what? Rugby.
Rugby.
Yeah.
Okay, and what has happened to the Germans? Are we meeting them in Johannesburg?
No, the Danish, they are saying unfortunately their plan is that they must come to Cape Town. So we cannot meet with them. So we'll organize the other meeting with them, whether if us will visit them or. But unfortunately, they were supposed to ask dates for us before they conclude theirs. But they conclude their dates before and say. So unfortunately, we prioritize ours.